This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And we're back after a short summer break. Too short. But we're excited. It's football season. We just put our football preview out. You can check it out on the website. Tremendous kind of in-depth knowledge of everything that's kind of going on with these teams. Getting a chance to see programs that are rebuilding, programs that are reloading, programs that are already loaded up. So we got a chance for a really exciting season. But we want to start with this, give you a little something different than what's in the preview. We want to talk about storylines, more sort of overarching narratives that are going to run what's going on. And then we're also going to get into some superlatives for football season. Teams most likely to make a run, teams most likely to improve. And then three guys that we are confident are going to be household names at some point. And we're going to give it to you so you know them ahead of time. But let's start with the storylines. Ryan, you chose this one. Depth, numbers. If one player goes down, things start to spiral a little bit for everybody. It's just a lot of teams that are kind of thin.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just sort of the name of the game in football right now. We're seeing turnout at a lot of places. Not true for all programs, but for a lot of places. There's just not that sort of second, third man down the ladder at the playmaking positions in particular. Next man up can be as successful. You're just seeing sort of a thinning of the depth charts. And it really hurts the schools with the smaller enrollment sizes. We're seeing the numbers at the 2A schools. Like, it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough fielding a team. We're seeing it's tough fielding JV teams. It's sort of an interesting thing. We've run into coaches over the last couple of years saying how hard it is to get kids to come out for football. And, there's obviously social issues around that. And we'll see how this sort of comes going forward. I think this is the first sort of generation of kids that have sort of grown up in that sort of concussion era that's been talked about, pretty much since the 2006 and 7 NFL seasons, when things really sort of blew up there. You're talking about more than a decade of those storylines, and we're seeing the numbers get a little lower in the sport, and we've seen programs fold. Last year we had two, Parkview and was it Manassas Park? Mm-hmm. We've seen sort of 8-man football become a thing. So football's kind of in this little weird, I don't know, sort of limbo area of trying to figure out what it is. And it's happening on the high school level before it happens in college. It's going to trickle up. You're going to see it happen in college and in the NFL too, where the sport has just been, it's the exact same thing that happened to boxing, the heavyweight champions in particular, just sort of a thinning of the herd. And so if we see a guy go down major player go down, it's going to matter.
And it's not us that are thinking it's going to matter. Coaches are being pretty explicit about it, that like, this guy goes down, we've got serious issues.
Yeah, I don't think either you or I saw a 2017 Louisa County football team where, okay, if Malik Bell goes down, it's okay because we've got Joe Whalen, we've got all these guys behind him, we got Raekwon Jones. You could afford to lose a guy for a game or two here. And I just don't think that's the case. Particularly, teams that are sort of smash mouth football teams, you lose that sort of bell cow back and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's same is true as sort of lockdown defenders. I mean, you lose a tackling machine in the middle of the football field, one of your Mike linebackers, and it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think like you said, there's just not that sort of elite depth. There's not as many guys just chomping at the bit, waiting in the wings.
And there's a flip side to that coin. If you don't lose those guys, if you stay healthy, you have an ability to be just that much better. If this is where you see sort of real talent shine, when there's not a bunch of others like them on the field, they really stand out. Like, a Brandon Smith last year really sticks out. That's sort of the flip side of that coin, is where you lack depth. If you have one of these studs, just sort of a multi-tool guy, it really sort of shows up in droves.
Yeah, and I think that you know, there are schools that are seeing good numbers. You know, there's a couple of programs that their numbers are in really good shape. Western is one that's in really pretty good shape. Louisa is in good shape. Louisa is there because they've had so much success.
Well, and look at the uptick we've seen in Fluvanna.
Fluvanna's got it going. Success is going to help that.
Winning cures all. I mean, that definitely makes a big difference in the numbers. You're going to have more kids excited to come out for programs that you know they have that come in with sort of, hey, we could make a big run here if we can just get a couple more guys out. I mean, that used to be the name of the game at St. Anne's. You know, to get one of those guys on the baseball team to come out and play quarterback. You know, Charlie Murray, a one-year starter kind of thing, and we can get a state championship if we just get that one extra guy to come out.
Chase Stokes at Western Almar when he decided to play some football.
Yeah, mix up from basketball to football.
I think that when you get that kind of success, that's it. You get like those two or three elite athletes that aren't playing football in your school, like get them coming out, like that really changes the name of the game. But you know, there are very few schools that are able to be, you know, able to do that right now and able to pull that off. So we're starting to see, yeah, like you said, one quarterback goes down, man, like you could be looking at, you know, I don't know, like it's hard to, what's the baseball sabermetric that's like point
wins,
you know,
above replacement.
Wins above replacement. Yeah. Man, we got some guys.
Some war.
Some high, I don't know how, like maybe you can't calculate it this way, but it's a high war for some of these guys because the replacements, they are well below this Mendoza line around here. I mean, this is a tough break and teams are going to have to weather it. They're going to have to figure it out. And we saw it last year. You know, he wasn't, you know, maybe the most well-known guy, but a guy like Isaiah Washington going down for Charlottesville, that changed the entire equation for them. And then it snowballed for them where more and more and more guys went down. But I think Washington going down was really a catalyst for, you know, a season that kind of spun out of control for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was frustrating. So, you know, we hope that we're not going to see any of these injuries, but you know that stuff is going to happen. You know that guys are going to go down. It's going to be interesting to see how teams adjust, whether they have to adapt, you know, and change an entire scheme or, you know, run different stuff. I mean, you know, there's some guys that, you know, maybe you could plug somebody in, but it just isn't going to be the same. There's just it seems like they're a lot of those situations this year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be monitoring that, keep an eye on that, and we'll see kind of how that plays out. But the other, a more positive, a more uplifting storyline that's really big is that we, you know, it's always really fun when you have a game that ahead of time you can kind of point to as like, okay, that's probably the game of the year.
Yeah.
That's the one that we're all excited about. You know, for a few years, it was Louisa Monticello. That was one that was really, you know, when they were...
Yeah, Andre Mealy and Jaleel Mosley and those guys, yeah.
You're looking for those big boy pants games, you know, the ones where you got to really strap it up. You really got to make it happen. And I think that, you know, we've got one of those this year that's hanging out there, but we got to wait a really long time.
Yeah, looking all the way into the second to last week of the year, November 1st. And we get that Louisa Western Albemarle game. It's the two teams that you know showed us the most last year within the Jefferson District. Huge turnaround season for Western, and they're carrying a lot of that momentum into this season. And then Louisa hasn't lost a district football game in 2 years. I think Charlottesville the last team to beat them in 16.
Sounds right.
So I mean, you are the king until you get knocked down, and so you sort of stick with Louisa as the front runner in the district until somebody can get at them. And this is, I mean, Western Louisa's got some history to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some history between the staffs there. We've had a couple feisty games.
It's got better over the years,
but,
I think.
I mean, you
but
point
there's
to that
been 20, some times where things have not been great.
You know, that sort of 2014, 2015 run when Western was really good. And
there was a real big yelling match that involved her. I remember... one of the only times I ever got no commented by Mark Fisher. and it was mostly just because he was stressed out with kind of how things played out in the post game. A lot of the names and the faces have changed since then.
Well, and yeah, 2014, 2015, none of those players are left. They've all graduated and moved on.
Everybody's
so
gone.
It's a different vibe. I mean, obviously the players don't have the same animosity from that era. It's going to be different, but I think they both know going into it that that's the game circled on both their schedules that we got to be ready. And in the past, I mean, going back almost 10 years ago, this became an annual tradition of when one was good, the other one maybe not so hot, and they would just sort of spoil their yeah. season. They, you know, this game was often played the last game of the year.
Yeah, Louisa did knock off Western with the Zach Jackson game, mm-hmm. where Jackson kind of went off. I did want to add that Mark Fisher actually called, I believe it was Monday morning, and apologized for no commenting. Or maybe it was even Saturday morning. So I want to note that it wasn't like a big deal. But, you know, I think that, yes, I think that you these – it's a rivalry. Like, there's no getting around it. Western Louisa is a little bit of a rivalry. Maybe it's, you know, different. Louisa and Orange, that's obviously a border war. That's different. But Louisa and Western have screwed up enough for each other over the years for it to be a game that both of them are going to take serious from the jump. And that's going to be really fun. We got a long way to go till we get there. We got 9 games each, you know, or 8 games each to play before we get there. But yeah, that November 1st date is really looming large.
And that's, I like the sort of timing on the date. And, you know, it sort of harkens back. There was some Monticello Western games going back to sort of 2011 and 12 and 13 in that era. Where
those are good ones too, yeah.
That, it fell right around that Halloween time. There was a Monticello Powhatan game right around that time that was, it was for the district.
It's also that stretch of really, really good Woodbury Fork Union games.
Yep.
That was,
yeah, were, so I just like the timing of it. It's football weather. It's just, it's nice to have that big dog on the table at the end. Where, I mean, a couple years ago, going back to the fall 2016, you're looking at Albemarle Louisa, that's going to be the best game. Oh, but it's right up front.
Right.
And even Monticello Louisa, when that was undefeated in 2017, two undefeated teams meeting up each other, that was still pretty early on in the season. I think there was 6-0.
Yeah.
I like it better when we have the possibility 2-8-0 teams. Like, is that in the cards? Can we have them meet up? That would be fantastic.
Both teams have some tough schedules. They got to get through some difficult runs, and I think but it certainly is on the table that, you know, they could be rolling right then, and it could be a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, it's.
But it's also contrasting styles between the two programs. Yeah. I mean, they run different elements. There's just a different look to their team. I mean, both have become incredibly sound defensively. That's just sort of, I mean.
It's going to be interesting to see how Western kind of handles. They obviously had so many senior starters last year, but they're playing in a lot of really promising athletic guys. We're going to see more of some of the skill guys playing on both sides. I don't know. I think that if that Western defense gets going, and I think they're going to score enough points that they're going to be rolling. And if they're rolling, we know – well, we don't know, but we're feeling pretty good about Louise is going to roll and play really well, although they have really beefed up their out-of-district schedule.
Yeah.
So it could be interesting. So maybe it's 7-1 versus 8-0, but either way, like, we could be looking at something pretty special in November.
Absolutely. And that's sort of what this district needs, is a marquee game, and I think you're getting it this year for sure.
No question. So we want to definitely do our traditional preseason superlatives. That's, you know, where we're going to go. We don't love making predictions, so you're not going to see, you know, we're not going to see a lot of like, okay, this team will win this game. Obviously, we just spent some time saying that we're predicting the game of the year right now in August. So,
2-1-7 teams meeting up November
1st. They both end up 1-7. That's not going to happen. but I think that we want to do teams most likely to make a run. We've already talked about two of them, but let's start with the Lions right off the bat and why we think that obviously they're a team that is poised to make a run.
I think the sour taste from the Eastern View game is a huge sort of building block for Louisa. I mean, you could just see the hurt and look. I mean, it was just so out of the blue. It's one of those plays that's sort of like a, you know, once in every decade kind of end of the game. We're just like, I can't believe I just saw that happen.
Mm-hmm.
It made no sense. It seemed cruel and unusual. It was just, I mean, you went from, we've got this game wrapped up, we're moving on, and, you know, Louisa was looking good, just the way things were stacking up the region, like, okay, we might have a shot at you know, getting into December here. And then they just have the sort of the rug pulled out from underneath them. Obviously, you want to see them get over that, you know, these first couple weeks. But this is the time to do it. The out-of-district schedule. Get out there, get mean, take it out on your opponents. And I think that's going to be huge for Louisa. But obviously, the thing that sort of sticks out for them is just, I mean, how smash mouth they are. This is a these kids all buy into what Will Patrick has. The transition from Mark Fisher to Will Patrick last year was seamless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody that would argue that. It was absolutely amazing the job he did. And you can tell those kids love playing for him. And that was the thing that Fisher said when he introduced him. You know, I want my kid to play for him.
Yeah.
And you can see that in the way that program's run. And it is the same thing. They just keep reloading. They have the formula figured out, and they're not going to mess with it until it's broke.
And I think that, you know, what's key is that you have a guy, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, that maybe, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't think of them this way, but Jarrett Hunter to me is such a bright, insightful, he's a guy who athletics makes sense to him. That's, you don't get a guy who's a point guard, quarterback, running back who like isn't a guy who like sports clicks for him. Like he is, right? He is just,
he's a decision maker.
Super high athletic IQ.
Yeah.
Like he's just through the roof smart. And he figures things out, and he's just so lightning quick that he's just turned out to be, I think we saw flashes of him just a few years ago where you're like, man, that kid has the potential to be pretty darn good. And then it has just been.
Like even last year, we sort of saw the numbers early on waiting for him. You know, maybe, is he dinged up? What's going on? And then all of a sudden, it's just boom.
Yeah.
200 yards. Yeah.
Hunter is an unbelievable player. And you take him, and then Austin Sims is an unbelievable linebacker. Aaron Aponte has built himself into, as one of the coaches put it, that's one of his stone cold killers. Like Aponte, Sims, man, those guys are just beastly. And Caleb Shelton is not here to play either. That guy ran over a Goochland secondary after he broke loose to the second level that is really talented, really good tacklers. And Caleb Shelton just exploded through there. That guy's a player. I mean, and then, you know, they're stacking up guys on the defensive line. They're stacking up, you know, if Noah Robinson's healthy and could come back, if he Alex Washington, Xavier Hunter, like, I mean, they just have some dudes and they're players. And Will Patrick is he's a football savant, man. He's a guy who gets the game. He speaks the language. He just understands how to put his guys in position to be really successful. When you go into a scrimmage with Goochland, you don't have your top two defensive ends and you start two freshmen and those guys shine, that's coaching. That's because those guys are ready. Maybe they're, yeah, sure, those guys are talented. The two young defensive ends that are backing guys up, they're talented, they're players, but they're getting great coaching too.
Yeah.
Will Patrick is really making a name for himself to the point that I was on the sidelines for another scrimmage, and one of the players who I was talking to in between breaks, because it was a tri-scrimmage, asked about Louisa, and I was just talking a little bit about how they are, and he said, I don't know, it's like, maybe that spot's a weakness, but Will Patrick is going to coach it up. I mean, that's a high school student recognizing that Will Patrick is doing a great thing. So I think that's why Louisa's built to make a run. And then you flip it over and you got the other team we already talked about too. Western Almar seems poised for a run because they've got all the skill guys back and they got to replace that line. And they got to figure out some things on defense. But Ed Redmond summed it up really easily. They're young, they're hungry, and the best teams that he's had over his long career, not just at Western, but where he's a New York State Hall of Famer, those teams, young, hungry, and talented, those have been some of his best teams. And I think that they've got a really good shot to do some special things.
Yeah, and I think one of the nice things at Western is these kids are, a lot of them are just 1 year removed from having a tough season.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've seen what it's like to sort of go through that adversity. The practice and work that you have to put in to put together the kind of season they had last year. You know, what happens when you take the off season seriously, and you know, stay healthy and do all the right things. They got to see the fruits of that last year. And so they have that experience now. I think it's always better to sort of know the other side and sort of having been there before to make sure that you don't fall back into those sort of familiar pitfalls. But yeah, when you have Carter Shiflett and Austin Shiflett, Breaker Mendenhall.
Young guy, John Buto, is supposed to be special. So,
I mean, you have all those guys, and if you see Ben Life and these guys on the front can find a way to sort of mesh together the way that senior group did last year, real yeoman-like group last year. If they can do that, these guys, you've got the skill positions around you to put up big plays. Western doesn't have to go out there, and we've seen this from them before. They don't have to go out there and smash it down your face. They can just sort of... old Peyton Manning, Indianapolis Colts style, like, we only need 15 seconds to score kind of thing. They can do that. And I think that makes them obviously a very dangerous threat. But yeah, you bring up the other side of that is Edmund. I mean, he's been there for a long time. The proof is in the pudding. He's won a lot of games almost quietly because they had those sort of 2 years. I think people just sort of forgot how good Western was for a long time there. You know, when he shows up in 2012, they just string together a whole bunch of winning seasons and playoff wins. And obviously they make that run in 2014 to the state Final Four, a really good state Final Four year too at 3A. Western's got all those familiar pieces that we just talked about with Louisa in just sort of a different way. And so you have to like what they have coming into this year. Sort of postseason run is in their cards.
Yeah. Also, I mean, and Carter Shiflett, he's going to be a guy who's expanded his game at quarterback.
The improvement last year was, I mean, game to game, you just saw a kid just sort of...
Scrimmage to week 7, the guy looked like a different player.
Yeah.
Like, he just flat out looked like a different player. He's dangerous on that bootleg. You know, I always loved it as a Packers fan, when Brett Favre would kind of stick that ball out there for this weird-looking play action, and then he'd boot back out. You're like, this is going to be a big play. Number one, because that guy's going to chuck it. So is it going to be a big play or is it going to be a pick? Carter Shiflett, more often than not, it's a big play. And he's got Breaker Mendenhall down there catching him. I think they're going to be really good. Mm-hmm. The other team that obviously they're looking for a repeat in VISFL, Covenant, and they got the dudes to do it with Jonas Sanker in particular back.
Yeah, you throw him together with Nick Sanker, and you've got as good a 1-2 punch as you're going to get. I mean, what they do on both sides of the ball is just amazing. Their football IQs are out of this world. I mean, I'm still reminded, I think it was Jonas Sanker's first year, and Covenant had dropped a game to Blue Ridge in the handshake line. There's some talking going on. Player sort of in front of him says, we'll see you next, see you in the playoffs kind of thing. Sanker pulls him aside and says, don't ever say that. That's just an example. That's a freshman to sort of... talking to him, like, no, we don't do that in the handshake line. Don't set us up for failure. Don't give them any ammunition. And so these guys, I mean, he's a junior this year, Nick's a senior. These guys are, I mean, they've got some mileage on them in a good way. Like, they've got some experience, some games won, some unbelievable. I mean, I think that it's hard to pick, like, who matters more on which side of the ball, what Nick can do defensive end. On the line, especially in 8-man, where you're taking up a couple pieces out of that. One guy can be so effective. And then obviously what Jonas can do, he's just in free space. And in 8-man, there's a lot of it. What he can do, it's just, I mean, I don't know how you catch him. And if you do, I don't know how you tackle him.
Yeah. Every time the guy touches the ball, it feels like it's a shot to go to the house. I mean, yeah. And more often than not, last year it felt like he definitely went to the house.
So, I mean, Seth Wilson made no bones about it. He thinks Jonas Sanker is the best player in the state. And he certainly is in this league.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any argument.
Yeah, so Covenant obviously going to be looking to make another run. They'll get a hard challenge, most likely from the local boys from St. Anne's. So we'll see if St. Anne's can solve what's going. They're still working out quarterback situation. They've got a big game with Faith Christian coming up on Friday. But if they can solve the quarterback situation, they've got the backs, Amani Woods and Gabe Decker. They got a great linebacker in Joe Ambrosi. I think likely you'll be seeing a VISFL. State matchup with those guys. I think that's what we'll see. One dark horse that we got to talk about too is a Buckingham team that things have fallen into place for really nicely.
Yeah, I mean, Seth Wilkerson comes in, takes over, and just sort of brings back some of that sort of familiarity that Buckingham knows. He was a coordinator for a long time, and it's just, I mean, much in the same way that Will Patrick was a seamless fit at Louisa, I think Wilkerson, same thing at Buckingham. It feels like home kind of thing. And they have, I mean, their schedule again this year, but in the previous 2 years was brutal. And they just missed out 2 years ago on making the playoffs. I think they won 4 straight down the stretch after like a 1-4 start. And then last year they get in. I think they again started 1-4, 1-5, win out. Make the playoffs. They got bounced in the first round, but they were so young last year, just all over the field too. And they dealt with some injuries at quarterback early on in the season, but they bring all the big pieces back. Colton Edmonston on both sides of the line, he's a beast. Walter Edwards is putting together the most quiet running back yardage total. He's been starting since he's a freshman. Mm-hmm. He's a great linebacker as well. And we'll see if Tay Tony, if he can stay healthy at quarterback. We know, I mean, he's the most athletic player on that team. We've seen him in practice. I mean, the guy can flat out play. Xavier Copeland, another one at playmaking positions. Buckingham's got a lot, especially for a two-way school, but they got to play Appomattox and Goochland out of the gate. So this could be one of those things where, hey, if a team starts 0-2, don't make too much of it.
No. Could be sitting at 8-2.
Yeah, it might not take long.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Buckingham, they talked about it. Hey, last year was about getting back into the playoffs. This year is about winning playoff games. And if healthy, I think this is a team that is well fit to do so. And they're still really young. But I just like the physicality of this team that Wilkerson has. You know, keep it simple, play great defense, and run the ball. You know, it's a tried and true method.
So, four teams that we feel like going to get a run. Buckingham, a little bit of a dark horse, but Louisa, Western, Covenant. Those three teams seem like the big dogs when it comes to, you know, their ability to make runs in their respective divisions. Three teams, though, that we think are set to improve in a significant way. It was hard to actually sort through this because a lot of teams had tough years last year. And these three, though, come to mind pretty immediately because of either personnel changes or everybody they're bringing back or everybody that is no longer on the injured list. These three teams kind of stand out. Let's start with Fort Union, where it's personnel changes. It's Mark Schumann being the head coach. It's Tego Moss. It's Alex Williamson joining that offense, giving them skill players on the outside. Vijon Hampton at tailback, who took it to the house right out of the gate. They ran like in the scrimmage against New Kent, they ran a very simple like old halfback slam type play over the right guard, and Hampton was gone 80 yards. I mean, it was over.
I mean, Schumann has been around talking about how his team's just going to be a high energy squad.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're looking for.
They had that energy at that scrimmage.
He's not even focused on sort of win loss record. It's how did my team come out and perform? What did they look like? Did they have that sort of football passion in them?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to a practice there, so you can sort of see it. I mean, he's fun to watch at practice. He's really invested. I mean, and of course he is a Fuma guy through and through. Sort of grew up in it and has now come back to it. But what they know that they have the strength on the edge of the field. That's where they're best. But you got, I love Nick Lampro on the offensive line, Miles Brickhouse on the defensive line. Those sort of players from last year that, you know, really bring a grittiness to them and just old-fashioned sort of Fork Union players that, you know, Schumann was himself. So it should be fun to see what happens with them. That was a team that sort of snake bit last year. And even the year before, a lot of close losses in there or, you know, things just sort of got away from them at the end.
We play a tough schedule like they do. It's a razor's edge that you're kind of living on. Like,
yeah.
The tip between 2-8 and 8-2 really isn't all that much.
Especially Division I private school where it's so hard to get a schedule together in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to any of those athletic directors and they'll tell you the sort of nightmare it is trying to find opponents that are, you know, that you want to play that are on your level. And a lot of times you have to sort of reach out and go to other states to do so. But yeah, I think Fork Union's got an opportunity to really change, you know, the 2-8 from last year into something big. And I think you feel the same way.
Definitely. And I think they just look special right out of the gate in the scrimmage I saw. They played a tired New Kent team, but they weren't just like beating them. They were talking like four plays and three touchdowns. I mean, they got it rolling a little bit. And Schumann, first guy who was an all scrimmage play guy to be a football coach around here. So that's pretty exciting. He's a young guy. He's got a lot of passion. He's got a lot of energy. I think that they've got a chance to really restore something down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you flip over and Orange County. I mean, like, last year was just, from an outsider's perspective, just looked difficult. It looked challenging. It looked like you would expect when you lose a guy like Darius Miner, who's the heart and soul of a squad, and he graduates, and everybody's really excited, and then just tragedy kind of intervenes, and it just looked hard on the community. It looked hard on Orange County. It looked hard on everybody involved, and I think that's why they found themselves. And that's in part why they found themselves at 2-8. It was an emotionally heavy load, and then you know things just kind of didn't go their way for a couple of games. They lost a couple of close games, and then it just kind of snowballed. I think that they've got a chance after seeing them again. we should note that, like, I can watch a scrimmage and come away thinking that everybody's world beaters. I'm a big believer in scrimmages, and I've not been proven over time to be exactly right. But Orange County has so many of the right pieces with Jalen Alexander, with Chance Williams, with, you know, my guy Noah Carey, man. I'm a huge fan of Noah Carey. He just is a plug in the middle. He seems to make – he's in on a lot of tackles. They got him. They're using him a little bit as a power back. We love what Jesse Lore does. You know, he's got a great offensive mind. He's doing a lot of really cool stuff. And he's got some guys on the staff that are helpful. He's got Adam Oates. He's got Bradley Starks. He's got, you know, he's got some guys, and Neil Ferguson. You know, he's got the right guys kind of around him that believe in Orange football. He's got the right players at the right time. And I think that really we could be looking, you know, the only issue that I really have is that they have got to weather the early storm, because that is a brutal opening schedule.
Two of those games are on the road, too.
Two of those games.
King George, North Stafford, Eastern View, and then Cortland.
I mean, they're just not playing around. I mean, this is like, it's a crazy schedule.
Not to mention Almar and Louisa right after that to open up their JV schedule. But
I mean, they could be looking at very tough, but if they can stick together, Orange County could be really, really good and could see some real improvement. I think they're going to be a tough out for anybody just because Jalen Alexander is a beast. He's a two-way guy who is, you know, arguably one of the better outside linebackers in the district, definitely one of the better running backs in the district. So we put the guy on the cover for a reason. We're big believers in Jalen Alexander. And so it's going to be really interesting to see if they can kind of, you know, shake off what they kind of went through last year, or if maybe what they went through last year made them stronger. And if that's the case, then they could be, you know, it could be a really fun year for that squad, and a chance to really improve and maybe beat up, beat up on some people. But getting through those first few games is job one.
And so, I mean, in that regard, we're going to know very quickly, just how improved Orange is. There was a lot of close games that they just couldn't get sort of out in that 2-8 run of theirs.
They started 2-2 last year, you know, and you thought like, okay, now's the time that they'll kind of kick it in. And then it was just like a frustrating loss and then another frustrating loss. And then everything just kind of stumbled downhill. So,
but very few teams have a dude that can put the team on his back like Jalen Alexander, but you like the outside stuff too. Jareek Washington.
Dude.
Yeah. So
Jareek Washington can get him flat out fly. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I love seeing him. Chance Williams can wreak some havoc on the outside. Yeah. They got some linemen who can play. Especially on the defensive side. So if they can clear the way on offense with Colby McGee and all, yeah, I think Orange is going to be good. I think they're definitely going to be improved. And I think that Charlottesville is the other team that, again, like a star-crossed, snake-bitten season last year. And so the hope is that, they've got to be better. If everybody, not everybody, but if most guys can stay healthy, they should be in pretty good shape.
Charlottesville's the only team that comes in with a winning streak.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
One win last year, coming right at the end, and a feel-good win for them. Because they just got, I don't know, it felt like their season, they just got kind of robbed.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know what to do about it when you have those kind of injuries and things just, nothing breaks your way.
Especially when you watch, you had to hope that a senior year for Sabias Foley, one of the most fun, most entertaining guys to watch over the last 4 years. I just remember seeing Sabias Foley's first scrimmage where he dove like full tilt parallel to the goal line, dove from like 5 yards out with his huge butt. I mean, the guy has been fun from the jump. And then you think like, okay, senior year, it's got to go well, even though they lost a lot of guys from the year before. But just a really frustrating outcome for him. But this year, Isaiah Washington, really excited about, you know, when him and Tamarius Washington, we could see a little bit of opening up the playbook, maybe see a little bit of throwing. And so it's hopefully we're going to see Charlottesville lead itself on a little bit of a turnaround. Again, though, same as Orange, brutal start on the schedule. EC Glass,
James Monroe, Harrisonburg, and Eastern View waiting there in week 4.
Why did everyone go get Eastern View?
And Charles,
has anyone seen these guys play? Eastern View is so good.
And for added bonus, Charlottesville does not have its bye until the end of the season. So if you can sort of hear Eric Sherry, just be like, you've got to be kidding me, right? Like,
this is, again, Starcross, a difficult set of circumstances that Charlottesville's playing. But again, if Charlottesville can stick together and weather that early storm, get themselves kind of locked in, they know their identity, they know what they bring to the table. If they can kind of stick together, if they can stay healthy, Charlottesville, I think, has got a chance to really improve on last year's record.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, hopefully so. It's just really unfortunate to watch, you know, a team that good last year sort of fall the way that they did. And it's just, I don't know, it happens every once in a while, and it's just really sad and unfortunate to watch happen. And you really start, everybody sort of knows the writing on the wall. You're just like, well, this is unfair.
Yeah, it's really tough. Really tough. The other superlative that we like, we're kind of going on long here, but the other superlative that we really love to talk about is three guys, you know, that we think have got a chance to be household names, if not by the end of this year, but next year or the year. Like, and but these guys, I think, are going to be guys you're going to be talking about all season long. And I think that one we got to start with is out at Fluvanna County, who a guy that they are really, really amped up about.
And I don't think there's a single member of the either Fluvanna County staff or just sort of parent fan base, you name it, that isn't jacked up.
Last time I remember everybody being this jacked up about somebody down at Fluvanna, it was Yahya Anderson, and he delivered. So we're not trying to put that on Jalen Ferguson, but Jalen Ferguson is a guy whose name is just coming up constantly as just a ninth grader.
Yeah, you know, where do they use him? Is he a running back? Is he a wide receiver? Assume some defensive back in there. They've got some spots for him. You know, they lost Prophet Harris, Demetrius Christmas, two guys that were really productive for them last year. So there's a need for a Ferguson here. And I think it's a pretty cool opportunity. Anytime you get a freshman to sort of come in, we've seen that happen a couple times. At Goochland has sort of been like the famous program for like, here's a freshman.
There's one freshman on the roster on the varsity, and he is all real good.
And what did the guy do to earn that spot?
If you're making the roster on that kind of squad, man, you must be sick. And what has it been in the past? What, Jordan Jefferson at Goochland?
Yeah.
It's been
the next name we'll get to. So anyways, Ferguson, great opportunity there. Even just the program, the direction itself, there's a nice little shot in the arm last year, having Fluvanna sort of pick things up. I mean, really close in that playoff game of theirs to pulling off a great upset there. That would have been amazing.
Against Brookville, a banged-up Brookville squad, but that was nearly the shocker of all shockers.
Yeah, they got off to such a great start, and obviously the schedule sort of didn't line up for them when they had all the sort of the big dogs to play in the JD down the stretch there in the end of October and early November. But we'll see if they can bring it back. The thing you like about them is, like, where's their experience? It's all up front. You know, positions where that had been such...
One guy's a mammoth. You probably saw him on our cover, Walt Stribling. He's not here to play around, man.
That's a big, big kid. You like the confidence that the team has. Like, those, they're kind of guys that were missing from the Fluvanna County football teams in years prior. You know, you had these skill position guys like a Ferguson, but they just didn't have the time, didn't have the protection to sort
running
of break
for their
loose.
Life.
Yeah.
And he has an experienced quarterback. Kobe Edmonds has a year under his belt. That's going to really help. That's going to take a little bit of the pressure off. These guys have been through some of the battles. Cool, calm, collected signal caller. I think that, you know, that gives maybe Ferguson a leg up. He's a chance to be an X factor for him, though. And I think he's a guy we're going to be talking about for a while. Another guy, we just mentioned how Goochland is incredible at taking the one or two super talented young guys and really transforming them. We had Jordan Jefferson, Devin McCray. It was Reed Chenault one year. He was a freshman quarterback who they sort of trotted him in whenever they needed a big play on third down, and he'd deliver. I mean, they have done a great job of developing these guys who are these sort of superstars. Devin McCray, and now this guy, the next one seems to be CJ Dallas.
Yeah, when Joe Fowler sort of pulls you aside, and now he's sort of watching as the athletic director instead of as a coach, to that guy's going to be amazing. you know, this is a guy with multiple state championships to his name. He's got an unbelievable reputation as sort of a talent evaluator and sort of builder of programs and players. When he tells you that this kid's going to be really good, you're like, okay, what year? No, he's a freshman. And so you're sort of waiting for Alex Ruth in his first year. All right, how's he going to work in CJ Tiles? And you see him come in, you know, there's a need for him at quarterback. We're going to get to see a lot of sort of different looks from him. And that's what's always made Goochland fun as an offense. Is they can slide guys around. You know, there's just different spots, different types of running games that you can sort of put them in and schemes. And Towson,
they're much more multiple than their wing T pedigree. You know, allows. Like, yeah, and like part of it changes because Fruith has got some spread tendencies. He's got some different wrinkles. He's a really, really bright guy who's bringing a lot of different stuff to the table, you know, and building on the legacy that Joe Fowler, another really bright guy, established, you know, and built. And there's a reason why that program keeps chugging along. And guys like CJ Towles getting a chance to play early and coaches not being afraid to play a kid early or find a way to work him in and understand how to develop a guy like that is special. And that's why they keep rolling.
And what I like about him is this is a kid, we saw the exact same thing with Jefferson, what sort of made him sort of become a great quarterback there, is that he started out defensive back.
Uh-huh.
And so you see it from the other side of the ball. And that's exactly what happened with CJ. He's a big part of that secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and that's probably not going to change. They're going to need him there to make plays. And yeah, it's going to be fun to watch him take that next step. I mean, this is a tall, fast kid.
Yeah.
He's just got athleticism all over him. And you know, it's fun as these kids age and they figure out the game. Just sort of when that next step happens, just how big of a leap forward is. And we're looking for that from him this year. And I'm sure Goochland is too.
No question.
As they try and, I think this would be their, if they can pull it off, this would be their fourth straight undefeated regular season.
Unbelievable, man.
16, 17, and 18, I think.
That's crazy. Crazy. So, you know, the third guy that's out there, we already talked about Walt Stribling and what a mauler he is at Fluvanna. Louisa's got their own set of dudes up front. We've been talking about Robbie Gwynn for years, man. Like, Robbie Gwynn is a fire plug of an offensive lineman, a great two-way guy.
Before him, it was Thurston. Yeah.
Before him, it was Tony Thurston. I mean, like, they have this long life. The guy that you got to watch this year, I feel like, is David Munoz. He's been playing right tackle for him. They love to run downhill. If you got a right tackle who's a mauler, a guy who can, you know, pick up guys at the second level, who's athletic enough to move around.
Yeah, they can slide him around. He can come at you from different directions. And
great angle blocker.
Yeah, just a
great footwork, good technician.
Yeah, and an athletic guy.
Really athletic.
And that's the you know, big tall kid at 6'2", really athletic, so moves well, can get upfield. Can slide around. So that gives Will Patrick a lot to work with there when you have a versatile offensive tackle like that. You know, a guy that maybe he's not the same frame as a Thurston, who's just a straight-up mauler or Stribling like we mentioned before. This is a guy sort of serves a different function. He's sort of your jackknife of offensive linemen.
Yeah, Munoz can play. And if you're anybody who's starting on that Louisa offensive line can play because they got plenty of linemen. They're going to find guys.
Yeah.
If you're making that front five, like, you're good. If you're back as a returning starter on that front five, you're real good. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I imagine that when we get around to doing road paver of the week throughout this football season, we're going to be saying David Munoz's name at least once, maybe a couple of times. So really exciting. We have gone on forever on this podcast. But if you stuck with us to the end, thank you so much for listening. We've really enjoyed it. You know, we're excited about this football season. We get started on Friday. Ton of games coming up. A lot of road games early. We talked about Orange and CHS. A lot of tough road games coming up early for teams. So we'll check in the next couple of weeks to see how things are going.